mainstream media piling on, Honey Bunny just going away, impeachment, and smombies.
Hello, and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for June 12th, 2017. I'm Janine Faddich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Thank you, Janine, and thank you all for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. We're coming to you, not live, because you're listening to a podcast, but WGN Plus here.
Correct.
And we have a new producer, Ben.
Hey, Ben.
Ben Cortez. He's direct descendant of Cortez, who actually destroyed the Mayan culture and genocide and stuff. Is that right? No? Oh, okay. Anyway, so this week's in the comic strip Prickly City, we talked about, first off, is the mainstream media piling on? And I've really been thinking a lot about this a lot because, you know, I'm a never Trump guy. I endorsed Gary Johnson. I mean, for those of you who listen to this podcast or follow the strip or my editorial cartoons, you know this about me. So I was kind of wondering, you know, taking half a step back and looking at things, is the main, and it occurs to me, yeah. The answer is yes. The mainstream media is definitely piling on.
Oh, I thought maybe you didn't think that.
No, I think he can be objective, but I think there's a lot that
they're piling on, but he deserves the piling on.
In a lot of ways, he does, and I say that in the strip. Now, did we get comments on that?
We got comments. So,
okay, let's hear
Railway Man 001 said, and just because there are a few liberals who are probably out to get him doesn't mean all liberals are out to do so. Just as there are also conservatives who still don't support him.
Well, and I would be one of those.
Right.
So, okay, that's a good point. And what else?
And J12M said the mainstream media has always piled on Republican presidents and candidates. Why should Trump be any different? Oh, yeah, he's pushing back. But Darson54 points out that it happens to every new POTUS. And don't kid yourself.
Yes and no. I think it's been over the top here. But we have an over-the-top kind of presidency going on right now. I mean, I've always considered myself, and God, I'm going to sound presumptuous as hell, so just, you know, roll your eyes now. But as a bit of a presidential historical historian, and this, I mean, there's nothing else to compare this to for a myriad of reasons, not least of which is the technological reasons, but just the attitude and all the way that the press covers things. We've had, surveys after surveys over the years that show that newsrooms tend to be liberal places, and that's gotten worse. I think the latest numbers are 7% of the recent survey showed that of television, radio, and newspaper newsrooms, about 7% consider themselves either conservative or Republican. That's way down from, I think it was in the 30 percentile when I first started in the business. So, you know, I want to keep this short, but I want to make sure I say it. I've worked around journalists my entire life. My dad was general manager of TV stations, and so I'd go with him to work sometimes, and he would just park me in the newsroom. So I hung out with these guys. Walked into my first newspaper newsroom when I was 18 years old, and I fell in love with it. I don't have ever since. Working with journalists my entire life, virtually, and these guys work their asses off to get the story right as they possibly can, especially at newspapers. They come in with a story, they hand it to an editor, either a source editor, copy editor, their section editor, and a lot of times it gets kicked back because they don't get it right, and they insist that they get it right. And so to demonize reporters and journalists is, in my eyesight, it's evil. It's bad. It also diminishes democracy. Now, are they perfect? No. Do they have their own filters when they're covering stories? Of course they do. But
you need them.
But you need them. And if they go away, then you just have, you know, the specialty sites that have either just conservative news, liberal news, progressive news, alt-right news.
Or government-approved news.
Exactly. So that's what you're going to be left with. And thank you. And so, you know, the more we diminish the mainstream media, the more, you know, again, they're not beyond reproach. I mean, you really do have to keep their feet to the fire as well to make sure that they get the story right. But more often than not, they do. And now they're targets, and it makes me crazy. Went on with a strip to talk about Honey Bunny. I'm still convinced to this day that Honey Bunny, who fills in large part, is kind of a fictionalized version of Hillary Clinton, of course, that Hillary Clinton is running in 2020. She's positioning herself to do it. A hilarious article in, I think it was of all places, Vogue, said, Hillary, no matter what you're doing, in the name of God, stop it. Because she's running, they're clearly pushing their charmless daughter, Chelsea, to run for something sometime soon. It is beyond imagining, but I am convinced that this is happening. Now, Janine, you had a great point about, we were talking about Honey Bunny this morning, how she's not literally.
Right, Hillary. I mean, you brought her in before Hillary ran, so you were using her for something else occasionally, and then you just made her more of a Hillary character, but she still isn't a complete Hillary character. She's more like inspired by.
Yes.
So she can do some things on her own, and not everything she's going to do has to correlate with something that Hillary Clinton is doing.
And in fact, the story, the strip is pegged to, and you know, good-meaning liberal friends have said, yeah, you know, if this thing comes true with the Russian interference in the election, then Hillary becomes president. And
what?
You just have to go, what are you talking about? I mean, that is nuts. And the logic they have is that because if there was some kind of interference with the vote count, that it turns out that Hillary would have won, or that somehow it goes to her. I'm going, there is no way our Constitution says that's how this works.
I don't think they have anything in the Constitution about that, do they? Don't think so.
People who are smarter than me have ventured into these waters, but no, if you impeach President Trump, you get President Pence. That's how this will work.
Right.
And but I still thought it was laughable. I mean, impeachment, all, you know, and people are still using the I word, you know, about Trump, and maybe that's wishful thinking. The Comey, now that we're recording this after the Comey hearings, I've got to tell you, and I'm going to write about this week in Prickly City. They were inconclusive. They did not show collusion, and there certainly was no obstruction. It was a wink and a nod and, you know, inappropriate conversation, but I don't think, and you're talking about someone who hates Trump, okay? So, but it doesn't,
yeah.
His testimony, it did not rise to obstruction, at least as far as we know. Maybe Mueller will find something new. And at the end of it, on the Sunday, we talk about, and I have seen this, walking the streets of Chicago, you see this now more and more. I pointed out to Janine every time I see it because it makes me crazy, as people walking and texting and not looking up, and they almost run into you. When they almost run into you, they look up shocked and they look at you like, you're the jerk, by the way. That's the other reaction that makes me crazy. And now what's happening more often is they FaceTime.
Or whatever. They're just looking at their phone. So that's called a smartphone zombie or smombie.
Oh, so that's where the smom comes
from. Right, from the smart part and the ombi from the zombies. Those are people who are walking and just looking at their phone. They also have one for people who text. I liked it, called pedestrian.
Pedestrians? I've seen people FaceTime. It is beyond imagining to watch this person. You're walking down a street of one of the great cities of the world. Truly. And we, you know, the Tribune Tower is down here. We live in this area. You know, it's the most stunning architectural area, truly, on the planet. And these idiots are walking around staring at their phones.
And walking into people and things.
And selfie sticks. You've touched a nerve. You know, we can talk about war and impeachment. No, that's not what pisses me off. Ben. Ben's laughing at me from behind the glass. What pisses me off more than anything, almost anything, is smartphones. People, be in the moment. I was actually on the elevator in our building, you know, where we live, with other people. And this woman walks on, and she literally is staring at a corner. She doesn't turn around, you know, the protocol of when you get in an elevator and you turn around and look at the door. She doesn't do that. She just walks in, staring at her phone, and I was able to look over her shoulder. It was just icons on her phone.
That's so she didn't have to talk to anyone.
Right.
She had an excuse.
It's like she didn't have to have human contact.
Have to, like, make eye contact or anything.
What is happening to us? Answer me! Ben, Janine, someone!
Smombies.
Smombies. Oh, my God. Yeah, it makes me crazy, because one of my favorite things in the world to do is connect with someone, because everyone has an interesting story. Everybody. And just to be polite, you know, I mean, do we not raise, well, I know we don't raise polite children anymore, but just to say, hello, how are you doing today? Have you been outside? How's the weather? How about those Cubs?
Yep, no. Nope.
Or
doesn't
socks.
Happen.
No, no. I could not believe she just kept staring at her screen full of icons. It was nothing was open. She just so oh, good Lord, don't let anybody talk to me. Oh, my God.
And figured that nobody would notice that she wasn't actually doing anything with her phone.
Well, someone did, young woman. And I'm
So there.
And I'm shaking my finger sternly. Okay. So any other comments this
week?
Well,
no, all the comments. I was waiting for you to take a breath so I could say them, and you didn't. So we just breezed by all the subjects.
Well, just pick one or two that we need to talk about.
Well, kind of too late now.
One or two.
Okay, we'll talk about Honey Bunny then. How's that? Because we got a lot on those. So we got a few people who just really don't like Honey Bunny. Katie writes, "You're obsessed. Get over her for the love of all that's holy. Your strip was so much more thought-provoking, not to mention amusing, when you stuck to issues and attitudes before going completely personal and one-note during the election. Hillary is irrelevant at this point."
And a lot of people are saying that, too, that she's not. And she is irrelevant, but I'm convinced she's running again. And don't forget, she's also installed as head of the DNC, one of her stooges. So she's not irrelevant.
And the only person who liked Honey Bunny was Raphael from East LA. He wrote, "I read your strip on the Left Angeles Times. I just adore the explosive temper of Honey Bunny. She is so funny, kind of like Lucy from the Peanuts gang. Just plain mean. Thanks."
You're welcome. See, somebody gets it. And so, thank you. And I know you, Janine, she's got the look on her face like, we've talked too long. You've talked too long. Shut up. I get that look a lot.
Wrap it up, baby.
That's a look I get all the time. All the time. So I guess I will. I want to thank everyone for listening to this week's edition of the Pricklesia Podcast. Ben, thanks for sitting in for Brian Altimer.
Thank you.
Ben Cortez. Cortez. I just want to say it like that. I do. If you've ever seen Ben, you want to say it like that. It is Ben Cortez. Janine Fadich, I don't say anything funny because there's no Croatian way to say it. And myself, if you want to keep listening to the podcast, you can subscribe to us through iTunes or go to WGN Plus. If you want to keep on the antics of Carmen and Winslow in the comic strip, go to gocomics.com/PricklyCity or go to scottstannis.com and leave a comment. We just might use it and I might not go on a rant and Janine might be able to read it. Might be able to actually read them. Or you can actually email us directly at pricklycity@gmail.com. I think that about covers all of the stuff we're supposed to cover today. Again, thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Until then, we'll see you in the funny papers.